And we will never settle. We know there's more than sounding. You're in me, Lord. I in you. Together we know there's more than sounding us.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, beloved in Christ. Today is another wonderful day. God has given us life. He's given us strength. And He's given us another opportunity to feast upon His word. He's called us once again to His presence, to the banquet table, where we can have fellowship with Him on the banquet table. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Thank you for supplying us with the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Father, we ask that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that the word that we're going to share this day will bless and transform our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Beloved, we're going to share something today which I believe is going to so mightily bless your life because of what the Spirit of God will be communicating this day. We'll be sharing a very paramount principle as far as our walk with God is concerned. And I believe that the revelation you're going to learn today will so much bless your life. I've realized that one of the frustrations that a lot of Christians go through is the issue of unanswered prayer. There is nothing so frustrating as a prayer that is not answered. And I believe one of the reasons a lot of us don't pray is not because we don't feel like praying or because we don't want to pray, but I believe that we've not yet tasted the good fruit of prayer. Many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed, and we believe that we've really prayed, but at the end of the day, we don't get what we're praying for. And because of that, many of us have given up praying because of this issue of unanswered prayer. And there are thousands and millions and billions of people praying every day. But sometimes when you investigate further into whether the thousands and the millions and billions who are praying really got the answers, then you become disappointed. But I believe that prayer ought to be answered. Prayer is an exercise. Prayer is our life. Without it, the man in Christ cannot survive. One of the things I have learned is that prayer doesn't make people spiritual, but spiritual people pray. And I'm going to be sharing with you one of the principles to answered prayer. And I'm going to be sharing from what has been famously referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And I believe all of us are familiar with this prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. And Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 tries to give us a background to that prayer. And Luke says, one day the disciples of Jesus went to him and they made a request before him. And the request they made was that, teach us how to pray, just like John taught his disciples how to pray. And I was always wondering, is it that these guys have not been praying? And it's not the case, because the Jews, as we know, were people of prayer. And Jesus even spoke about one of their attitudes, which had to do with going to public places and making long words so that they thought they could be heard by their long prayer or by their public display of it. Which means these guys were actually praying. But they came to a realization that there is a man who has appeared on the scene and he seemed to be getting results from his prayer. And they realized that this guy was praying in a different way. And they wanted to know how he was getting those results. And they were humble enough to walk to him and say, Master, we want to know how to pray, just like John taught his disciples how to pray. And in an answer to that request, Jesus made some of the profound words that we're going to be sharing today. I believe we would not be able to deal with the whole thing, but throughout the week we shall be sharing a little by little how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And we'll look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'll take the verse 9 again. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We wouldn't continue, we'll just look at something for the verse 9, and I believe we might not even be able to finish the verse 9. Jesus is now beginning to talk to them, to give them a sermon, to take them through a teaching on prayer. And he's saying, after this manner, in other words, after this pattern, pray. And the first thing he spoke about is our Father. And we're going to be sharing our Father. And if time permits, we'll look at who acts in heaven. And so Debbie-san will look at hallowed be thy name. So the first principle Jesus unveiled to them was that for you to have an effective prayer, for you to triumph in the area of prayer, for you to stand before the throne of grace and make a request and have that request granted, the first thing you have to realize is a revelation of God as the Father. So Jesus is beginning to tell us that one of the secrets to an answered prayer is when we have a revelation of the fatherhood of God. And we realize that before Jesus came, nobody had ever called God his Father. All that the Jews knew was that God was God. He was Elohim. He was El Shaddai. But that dimension of the fatherhood of God was not yet revealed unto them. And Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 11 verse 27 says, nobody has seen the Father except the Son who revealed him. What does it mean? It means a revelation of the fatherhood of God is not just known with our senses. Which means for we to comprehend the fatherhood of God, it got to be revealed to our spirit. And Jesus is saying that the secret to answered prayer is a revelation of God as the Father. Which means the extent to which we understand God as the Father is very paramount to our prayer life. Which means an ignorance of the fatherhood of God will cause us to be deficient in our prayer life. And Jesus moved forward to continue the sermon in the verse 25. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Oh, glory. Jesus went forward to reveal unto us the heart of the Father, to reveal unto us one of the manifestations of the fatherhood of God. And he's saying that we don't have to take thought of life, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. And he said, behold the fowls of the air, they neither sow nor reap, they don't gather into barns. He said, but your heavenly Father feed each and every one of the birds of the earth. Jesus is opening our eyes to something so profound here. And he's telling us that the fowls of the earth break a very fundamental law of nature, which is sowing and reaping. Because without sowing, there is no reaping. And Jesus is saying, there are breed of animals that break that fundamental law. And yet, your heavenly Father still feed them. And saying, are you not more than the fowls? So Jesus is giving us a revelation here that when you look at the birds of the earth, the way they feed, the way they don't go hungry, at the end of the day, the revelation is that they are all fed by your heavenly Father. It means the birds, one way or the other, has captured a dimension of God, a revelation of the fatherhood of God that has made them to live a stress-free life. And Jesus is saying, the one that feed the birds is not the father to the birds, it's your father in heaven. And he's giving us a clue that we are more than the birds. It means, in the scheme of things, we are better than the best. And yet, God is so much particular about the welfare of the best. And we move forward through the verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Wonderful. They toil not. They don't suffer. Neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more? Listen to the emphasis here. Shall he not much more clothe you? And he went ahead to say, ye of little faith. Wow. He's making another analogy here, that when you look at the flowers of the field, they don't toil, they don't spin, they don't do anything, and yet they are so wonderfully clothed, even than Solomon. And he's saying, if these things are not necessary, they grow today and tomorrow they are gone. And yet God takes so much interest in their welfare. How much more you, who is fashioned in his image and in his likeness? So he's letting us know, he's giving us insane, how God takes care about things that are insignificant. He's giving us a glimpse to the heartbeat of God. That even the birds, the flowers of the earth, God is so much particular about them. I said, how much more we who are created in his image, who are formed in his likeness, who represent him on earth. And verse 34, he said, therefore, he's repeating the same thing again. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? I think that is what a lot of us say. Today, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wonderful. It's a chorus for some of us every day. What are we even drinking today? Or what shall we wear? And he said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's saying the Gentiles, this is the focus of their seeking. The Gentiles are those who are not part of God's kingdom. In other words, unbelievers. He said, when you look at them, these things are the boundaries of their pursuit. What they will eat, what they will wear, what they will drink. So you see them running after cars, after houses, and after earthly things. So these are the things that they are seeking. The Gentiles. So in other words, if this is what Gentiles who don't know God are seeking, and God's children are also seeking the same thing, it means there is no difference between what the Gentiles are looking for and what the children of God are also looking for. I say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that. Your heavenly Father, know dear heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, know that all these things, we need them. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's unveiling unto us the fatherhood of God. Sometimes we're tempted to think that once you have an earthly father, automatically you know what fatherhood is. But when Jesus was talking about the same thing, he said, "But if ye, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father?" Jesus is saying that no matter how you love your child, no matter the good things that you are doing for your child, you are still evil. That's Luke chapter 11 from verse 13. He said, irrespective of how your father loves you, your earthly father loves you, that cannot be compared to the love that God has for you. And Jesus is giving us a revelation of the heart of the Father. When we talk about God as our Father, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that God cares about you. God is interested in seeing you happy. God is interested in seeing you prosper. God is interested in seeing you move forward. God the Father is not glorified when we are walloping in poverty. The Father is not glorified when we walk about hungry, not knowing what to eat. He said, this is not the heart of the kind of Father that God is. So a revelation of the fatherhood of God, Jesus is saying, is a first step to an answered prayer. So in admonishing his disciples, in teaching them how to pray, he said, when you are praying, the first thing you have to realize is that God is your Father. You are not just talking to any other person. You are not talking to your auntie. You are not talking to your uncle. You are talking to your Father. Which means it gives us boldness to stand before him and make a request. Just for the sake of the record, because some of us, the mention of a father itself is very saddening because of our experiences in the hands of so-called fathers. So we may be thinking that God is that kind of father. So Jesus is trying to prove to us that God is not even like our heavenly Father. So irrespective of the kind of idea you have about your heavenly Father, God is not like that. And he went ahead to now give the credentials, what God is doing as a father, even to birds and to flowers. Which means for us who call ourselves his children, we should be operating at a higher realm of life. Which means when we stand before God without this understanding, we will be doubting as to whether God really hears. But Jesus is giving us a principle that approve God as your Father. Approve God as your Father who loves you, as your Father who keeps you as his beloved. In that case, we can have confidence before him that he's going to hear. Amen. So the next time you stand before God to pray, the next time you come before the throne of grace, know that you are standing before your Father. And he went ahead to say, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We shall look at it into details tomorrow. For the sake of the time, we have to bring our discussion to an end. So tomorrow or within the week, we shall be looking at what Jesus meant by who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God bless you for listening. God bless you for paying attention. If you are listening to me and you've not yet given your life to Christ, know that God loves you so much. He loves you as a son and he doesn't want you to perish. He wants to reconcile you to himself. So you still have an opportunity to give your life to him. If you want to give your life to Christ, say this prayer with me. with your heart believing that God will hear you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you went to the grave for me. I believe that you resurrected so that I can have everlasting life. I profess that you are the Son of God. I profess that you are alive. And I profess that you died to give me life. I believe in your death and I believe in your resurrection. Wash away my sins and make me clean. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for saving me. Amen. 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 God bless you. I pray that from today you have a very wonderful time with your Father, who loves you, who cares for you, and who is calling you to his presence. Remain blessed. Stay blessed. Amen.
You're in me, Lord. I in you. Together we know there's more that's found in us.